Casey, cut him!
I got that son of a...
Big Ugly Outdoors with Casey Studdard and Lyle Sedlock. Brought to you by Vince Young Steakhouse.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Welcome back. What's going on, everybody? Casey Studdard, D-Ball's in the booth, Big Ugly Outdoors. Sitting here, it is 8 o'clock, 8:10. It's kind of foggy. Got a little bit of rain coming. Got a little bit of wind. All this, all these tropical storms and hurricanes and all this funky weather we're getting around the United States right now is nuts. But yeah, has Texas a little soggy. Mold counts high for all you mold people. I never even thought about looking at mold count until I got married. My wife's like allergic to it, like real high doses or whatever. So she always gets, when it's real rainy and damp like this, she always gets kind of like stuffy and all that kind of crap.
Never been tested for it, but yeah, probably happens to me too.
Yeah. Go through a couple of the people here on the text line. Aggie Dad said, it's all right, Casey. I love to hear you say the same thing over and over again. I don't root for the University of Texas. I know, I understand why you like me to hear me just repeat. But the thing is, dude, you're right. It's been like 6 years since, you know, I've been repeating that, you know. But we've been repeating that for about 25 to 30 years with the Aggieland. You know, it's just the same thing. They have a good game, and then they just disappear. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, all right. But anyways, off of that, what else we got? This is Urban's last game. Ohio State fans will number TCU 70-30. It won't be easy, but Ohio State will pull it off. You know, my whole thing is Ohio State fans do travel well. There are a lot of fan groups that travel well. Some of the smaller schools don't travel too well, but when it's a neutral site game, Ohio State will travel well. Plus, it's Texas. Everyone loves to come to Texas. It's like,
I think when Ohio State won their national championship a few years ago, there was a lot of Ohio State fans in Jerry World because it was at Jerry World as well.
Dude, Ohio State has a fan base now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you know, back when I was in school, Texas had 50,000 undergrad, right? I mean, TCU now has 40,000. I'm sorry. Texas State has 40,000 now. You know what I mean? Undergrad. So I don't even know what Texas has now.
Yeah, that I can't even imagine, man.
So, I mean, just that many people, you know, and you got that many years. I mean, it's just, you got fans. You have a base, you know what I mean? What else we got? Texas 31, SoCal 28, freshman kicker hits game winner. Is that your prediction, Ambulance Driver? If that's what it is, all right. I just hope I just want a W today. I want a W so we can have a better, you know, because we got TCU next week. And it's here, TCU, and it's probably going to be coming off a loss to Ohio State. So if you think of that, they're going to be extra pumped up. So we got to come with a win so we can beat TCU, because regardless, they're going to come in here. And TCU's had our number. They've had our number. They whooped our ass the last 3-4 years. And
3:30 kick next week, by the way.
3:30 kick. Well, that's nice. I like a 3:30 kick. These 7 o'clock games, I get too damn drink too many damn beers. you start drinking cold beer, you're watching football, and then the next thing you know, your game doesn't get on until 7, and a little barrachoed when the game starts, but it's all good. So today, my take on everything, you know, SC lost to Stanford last week. It was at Stanford, you know, that's a home game. You know, Stanford's a hard team to beat at home. And they're a totally different offense than we are. They got one of the best offensive line in the NFL. I mean, not the NFL, I'm sorry, in college football. And they're going to ground and pound you and hit you with play action and, you know, that type of stuff. And
they've got a really good running back as well.
Yeah,
so
they have a great running back. So they're gonna rely on the big uglies up front. You know, and Texas needs to – you know, I talked to a lot of people this week and, you know, looking at the offensive line, they don't have a guy on there that, you know, kicks ass and takes names. They don't have an aggressive guy that the coaches rave about where the other guys – they don't have an example. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, none of these offensive linemen have had an example that of somebody that's, you know, a beast. You know, Connor Williams is good, but he wasn't a beast. You know what I mean? He was a technician. Nobody get by him, but he wasn't out there ripping face masks off. You know what I mean? Talking mess. So, you know, there's no example. Like, what Texas needs is someone on that offensive line to start having pancakes, talking crap, cleaning up piles, you know, never stopping till the whistle blows. You get a free shot on a D end or a pinned up nose guard. You go break his ribs, you know, stuff like that. Like, they don't have anybody like that that the coaches praise and be like, y'all see how this kid's doing it right here? They don't have anybody like that, because if they had someone like that, the younger kids, the kids that are not playing, the or the other off, you know, the other four starters on the offensive line, they'll feed off of that because that a praise from a coach makes them, you know, like, that makes them want to get appraised too. You know what I'm saying? It makes them want to get that attaboy as well. You know what I mean? And so that's my biggest thing is they used to have no examples. They really don't have anybody that's going to, you know, they just don't have that. And until someone steps up and does it that way, I just don't see the offensive line becoming a nasty offensive line that wants to put the game on their back and do a 4-minute, you know, drive or 6-minute drive to end the game, you know.
What did you think about Cosme last week?
What number was he?
He's the freshman. He played right tackle last week. He looked like the best offensive lineman on the field to me.
I know Hofstetter had a slow day. Left tackle played pretty well. But, I mean, it's Tulsa. Like, that's what I don't get. It's Tulsa. You should be beating their ass every play. You should be picking them up and body slamming them every play. Every time it's a run play, you should just be driving the dude. The dudes, they should have grass stains all up and down their backsides. It's Tulsa. They don't play. That ain't big boy football. You know what I mean? That's just the way I look at it.
They lost 10 games last year. They were 2-10.
Yeah. And we should have beat Maryland, too. Maryland plays a little more tougher schedule than Tulsa does, but still, Maryland got beat last week, didn't they? Or they barely won.
See,
no, they barely won to some like underwater basket weaving school, but I mean it was tight for three quarters or something like that. But anyways, you know, we won it last week. The guys have a W under the belt. We're 1-1 right now. We just got to keep winning. We just got to win ball games. Like, they need to win ball games. They have to win today. Like, you have to. Like, you can't go 1-2 to start the season with TCU, Kansas State, and Oklahoma right behind that. Because TCU ain't going to be no cakewalk. At Kansas State ain't going to be a cakewalk. Yeah, Kansas State hasn't really done anything, but Kansas State at home is hard.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Texas, for some reason, when they go to Kansas State, it's even harder. And Kansas State likes to, you know, they play different. Everybody plays different against Texas. You know, they want to beat Texas because that's like their highlight, because Texas is such a powerhouse school that they want to beat Texas or Oklahoma. That's who they want to beat in the Big 12. Anytime anybody plays Texas or Oklahoma, they're like, you know, because they're powerhouse schools, you're going to get everybody's best shot, you know, and that's something these kids need to learn. So anyways, we go to Kansas State, and then after that, we're in the Red River rivalry.
Oklahoma looks good, but they did just lose their running back, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, they did.
Rodney Anderson's out for the season, so.
ACL?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I hate injuries. Injuries suck. But, you know, how's that, but that young quarterback, that, or not the young quarterback, but the quarterback they have, he's doing his thing. He ain't no Baker Mayfield, but he's, you know, he's doing what he needs to
he's
do.
He's been
so
pretty
far.
Dynamic out there. Yeah. He's been fun to watch.
Yeah. Who does Oklahoma have this week? Anybody big?
I didn't see their name on the schedule. They might be off this week. Let me see if
but
I
they didn't. Them. They didn't really have a big tough schedule. They didn't have a
They've
big.
Got Iowa State this week. Okay. At Iowa State.
Yeah. Old Cyclones. They'll beat that ass. Oklahoma didn't have a big in-state game though, did they? Or out of conference rivalry game, did they this year?
See, they had
who was their
UCLA.
First, was
I
their
mean,
first
that
game? Yeah. No, that ain't nothing.
Their first game was where Florida Atlantic, FAU.
Yeah,
so I mean they're good. They've got a lot of athletes on their team, but it's not the caliber of Oklahoma.
Yeah,
like they've got Lane Kiffin as their coach, and they've got one of the best running backs in college football. But outside of that, no, that was a cakewalk for them.
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely. So Texas, this is a must win because if we go 1-2 going into that, you know, that 3-game stretch, you know, say we win one. I mean, I don't know. You know, say we win one out of that. Now we're 2-4 or whatever it is. You know, so it's like, you know, it's not or 2-5. You know, so that's just it's not good. Or 2-6. Yeah, to go 2-6 in the next stretch is just not good. So we got to win today. Get 2-1. Get ready for next week. But SC has a. I mean, SC they don't have. They're no Sam Darnold.
Freshman quarterback.
You know,
not only a freshman quarterback, but he should be a senior in high school.
Yeah, he's like 17,
yeah.
Right? Or he's 18, but he just graduated early. Yeah. But to be over there and playing that, I mean, there you go. I mean, you gotta be good somewhere.
Yeah, they've got a lot of questions on the offensive line, is what I've been hearing a lot this week. I want to see they've got one sack, the Longhorns, in the first 2 weeks. And none from defensive linemen or linebackers.
Oh, I know.
I think it was Boyd that got the sack, I want to say. So I want to see the defensive line be a little bit more aggressive and get in there.
I agree. I just, you know, you haven't heard from, who is that, number 90, Charles?
Yeah, you haven't heard his name very much.
You haven't
heard
his Brecken. Name. You haven't heard Brecken. None of that. Like, you guys got to beat a one-on-one block. Beat a tackle and go disrupt the quarterback. You got to, you know, it's
especially with a freshman out there.
Just regardless, it's football. Like, you got to go do it. Like, you guys have played enough football that you got to have pressure. You got to have hit on quarterbacks. There's no reason why we only have one sack through two games. Is that you said one sack through two games?
Yeah, one sack through two games.
Yeah. I mean, we got to get after it today. You got to.
And CB actually sent this in. Cosme, what we were talking about, was named the Pro Football Focus Offensive Tackle of the Week last week. So,
who was?
Cosme, number 52 is his number.
Was the Pro Football Focus Offensive Tackle for who?
For college football.
Oh, okay. So college football, they said...
Cosme was the best offensive tackle in college football last week.
Okay, well, I guess he was doing his thing. And he's a true freshman?
Yeah, true freshman. Out of Atascocita, I think it is.
I have to see which one he is. He's a smaller guy, but he's aggressive, isn't he?
I want to say he's like 6'6", but let me...
I meant weight-wise. I know he's under 300. See. I think he's like 285, 290. But the other guy I want to see get in there is that D-tackle. I think he's the one that will give you that little bit of... Lapui or Laputa, I can't remember his name. Someone will chime in here in a second. Let me know his name. But I think they need, like I said earlier, they need that one offensive lineman that's gonna, you know, break people down to the point that it becomes contagious and other offensive linemen want to do the same thing because they're getting so much praise from the coaches. I just think that's the only way right now. I mean, because you can't teach aggression to people. You can't teach somebody attitude. You can't do that. I mean, that's just someone's nature. You know what I mean? So it's that's the big thing with them. The D line, though, yeah, I follow these guys on Instagram and all that kind of stuff, and like they're always talking about like, oh, we're savages and all this kind of stuff. All right, well, if you're a savage, go break someone's go knock someone's helmet off, like. I don't see any savage plays on the field. You know what I mean? Like, there's no hit in a game where you're like, ooh, that's a game changer. You know what I mean? We had Derek, and I just played with great I was on great teams with great players, so my examples are totally different. You know what I mean? It's so some people are always like, well, yeah, look at your teams, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, but still, that's the example that I looked at. Like Derek Johnson, I knew he was gonna spark the defense. Some way, somehow, he was gonna make a play where you're like, oh, all right, defense will be fine today. I mean, that because Derek's not a vocal leader. He's a quiet vocal leader. Like, hey, come on, guys, we got to get this, this, and this. But on the field, he leads by example. You're like, okay, yeah, because DJ was a beast. Oh, Waco.
Someone actually just texted in a really good point, and they said, I just hope SC's quarterback doesn't have his breakout game this week because he's going to have one. He's that good. Don't let it be this week.
That's what, like, it goes back to what you said, D-Balls, is that you got to get pressure on this young quarterback and get in his face and hit him. You got to beat the D-tackles, got to beat one-on-one blocks. If their O-line is having – you know, problems, we got to take advantage of their weakest point. And, you know, and the good thing is about Todd Orlando is that he will expose that weak point, you know what I mean, of whatever he finds. But my whole thing is with coaching is, you know, we find a weak point. Like if you watch Alabama, they find a weak point and they'll just keep pounding it until it's not, well, I mean, you know, or more, I think it's more Belichick, Tom Brady type. They'll find a weakness in a defense.
The best coaches do that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll just keep doing it until you switch it up or stop it. I just feel like sometimes in college football, they get away from what they came in there, and they get scared at the end of the game instead of being aggressive. You know what I mean? They're worried about, I don't know. You know, I get it, the big play, all that kind of stuff, letting people back in the game, blah, blah, blah. But I always think be aggressive throughout the game. And if you do it that way, play to win, not to lose, I feel like you end up winning 52-0. You know what I mean? And it's not, there's never a stall. It's always your foot's on the pedal, you're on the gas all the time. And that's what Texas needs to do, is they need to put their foot on the gas on someone's throat and just go. But it goes back to examples and experience, and none of these kids have done that. You know what I mean? They've never done it. So it's hard to preach to somebody that's never done something, you know, never felt that feeling before. Like that offensive line hasn't felt the feeling where they're driving down the field and taking over a game. Like I remember with Colt against Oklahoma, it was 4th and 5 or 4th and 1, and it was a QB sneak up the middle. We went for 20 yards. Like just pushing a pile.
Really?
Like just pushing a pile.
Wow.
At the Cotton Bowl against Oklahoma. 4th and 1, we went for like 20 yards, and it was just a scrum the whole way down. And then someone tripped up and we fell. But I mean, that took the sails out of OU. They're like, and I was in the first quarter, they're like, all right, we're not going to win this game either this year. I mean, it does. It demoralizes people when you do stuff like that. It's like kicking them in the nuts and looking them in the eye. Like, yeah, we just did that to you. I'm going to do it again next play because it's awesome. That's my whole thing.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. What do you say? I would love this game if it was the year after the Rose Bowl. Yeah, I agree to that.
Man, that would have been fun to watch, too.
You know, the one thing I regret about the Rose Bowl is that I liked how Coach Brown, because, you know, as poor college kids, we would get more money if we fly ourselves out there and do all that kind of stuff, you know. But a lot of teams now, they do, like, charter flights, but they don't get as much per diem money. So Coach Brown was always like, well, y'all want more per diem money? We're all like, yeah, we want more per diem money, so... We got our own flights to all the bowl games and all that kind of stuff. But I wish after the national championship we had a charter flight and we all came back to Austin. You know, and got to, like, stay there a day, but that next day come back to Austin and come out here and party with all of Austin after that game.
Cause that would have been crazy.
Because, I mean, I don't regret where I went. I had a great time. But it would have been cool to come back to Austin and party with, you know, the diehards down here in Austin. But yeah, what else we got today besides SC getting their ass whooped down here in Austin, Texas?
You haven't talked too much NFL. I know that's not today, but I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to hit there.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys, I don't know what's going on there. They just, I don't know. It's like, but the dude from the dude from New York, the Conley, or whoever the running back is for New York Jets. No, I'm sorry. Conley's the new running back for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh tied freaking Cleveland.
Cleveland's better than people give them credit for. I think, shoot.
You just watched Hard Knocks and you're like,
no,
oh,
no, I actually didn't. I didn't watch a single episode.
You're all up on them. You're like, oh, oh, I saw you guys on TV.
I didn't watch a single episode because I don't have HBO.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I got HBO Go on my phone. I watch it up there when I'm watching the pits at night. But what were we just talking about?
We were talking about Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Yeah, so you know, we're talking about Dallas. What the running back from New York Giants said, he said that, yeah, we just stack the box, take away Zeke, and make Dak beat us. And I agree with that. Dak ain't playing well. He hasn't done crap. So I agree with that. Make him one-dimensional. Make Dak be perfect. But he doesn't have the weapons behind him. He doesn't.
He has 10 new – there was 10 new offensive players that played in the game last week. 5 new offensive starters. And Dak barely played in the preseason. Zeke didn't play in the preseason. It's just going to take them a little bit to get into a rhythm.
This is
and
a
they've
Dallas,
got terrible
everybody,
coaching, too.
Everybody, this is a
terrible
Dallas
Terrible coaching,
this,
too.
This is a Dallas Cowboy fan, so that's why you got you got that kind of remark right there.
I'm an optimist.
No. It's. I mean, the offense line didn't look too good. Connor got hit by 2 sacks, by 2 push-pulls. Same guy. Yanked him down, pulled him up. He was just too high. He played high at Texas. He just plays too high. It's like, you're in the NFL now, buddy. Like, you can't play high. But other than that, I thought he held his own pretty good. It's his first game. But, I mean, my first play of the NFL, Albert Haynesworth head slapped me, went around, hit Sage Rosenfeld. Next thing I see is Keith Bullock running down the sideline, and I'm like, oh, I'm cut. I'm done with football. That was my first play in the NFL. Albert Haynesworth just destroyed our quarterback. He head slapped me, and I was done. And so I saw Connor get jerk pulled and get a sack. I was like, oh, you know, it's football. You're going against grown ass men. So it's nature of the beast. I mean, you're going to get beat sometimes. I mean, you can't be that. I mean, some people are. I mean, I just never was that good, I guess. But no, he got, you know, but I thought Connor played well after that. So I'm not too crazy on that. The Cowboys, they'll bounce back, I think. They'll be fighting for playoffs if Dak figures it out. Pittsburgh, you know, the whole Le'Veon Bell thing. I know he's scared right now, though, with the whole that Connor from Pittsburgh going out there running his butt off.
When he's suspended, he's been suspended twice the past few years. Every time he's out with injury or suspension, they just roll right along with another running back. They put in another running back there.
Well, they have Munchak as their O-line coach. And Munchak was my head coach at Tennessee, and he's a Hall of Fame old lineman, with the Oilers and all that kind of stuff. And that's why. He's a beast off as a line coach.
Yeah, if I was the Steelers, I wouldn't pay Le'Veon Bell.
I would. I mean, reason why. I mean, yeah, because the way he acts and stuff like that. But what really sucks for Le'Veon Bell is he should get paid.
Yeah, agreed.
A max
I agree
contract.
There.
100% he should get a max contract. But the way the NFL works, because, you know, how crappy just
– Only once today, man.
I know.
It's only happened once, 4 times last week.
I've been shishing every time. But it's – what were we saying? Shoot, I lost it all. We're talking about
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell. But the thing is, he deserves a max contract. But it sucks because of the crappy collective bargaining agreement we signed. You know, the owners still have all the power.
Yeah. And players have nothing.
It's because our union's weak as hell, and it's the reason why it's so messed up is because we were sitting there and, you know, in 2009, trying to get the season going, And they warned us 2 years before. They said, hey, put this $15,000 away here. Put this $15,000 away and put that. So, you know, I had $70,000 put away that the team took care of just so when it was NFLPA, took all the money and then, you know, since it wasn't a lockout, the boom, that went right back to my account. But that was for to save your money just so that you could have some sort of paycheck during the lockout. And a lot of guys didn't do that. They didn't throw any of their money into it or nothing like that. So when it came down to it almost being season, a lot of the guys that, a lot of those guys that didn't save any of their money were like, hey, we got to get back in the game. We got to get back to practice. I got family to feed, and I get that, and I totally understand that. But that's why our union sucks, is because we can't ever get together and make it solid. You know, you look at baseball and you look at, you know, football has all the numbers in the world, but, you know, baseball, basketball, they play 82 games, you know, 90-something games. Like, they have that many more chances. They have that many home games. So that's why they can get paid those ridiculous contracts and everything like that. But I don't know. I think Le'Veon Bell deserves to be paid.
Someone will pay him. He will get paid.
Yeah,
I just don't know if it's going to be the Steelers.
Yeah, but he ain't going to get that max contract that he deserves, and that's the crappy thing. But that's the NFL for you. They don't give a crap. They're just trying to make money themselves. It's a business to them. They don't care about no players. But, you know, that's football. Anyways, you say you want to take – we got to take a quick break. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll finish up the rest of the day with all Texas USC, kind of a little bit more of a breakdown. And we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Outdoors, brought to you by Vince Young Steakhouse. Different from the herd. I knew that song. That's hard. Man.
It's okay.
I used to party to this one. Sorry, y'all getting dropped. It's game day. I get dropped every once in a while during game day, but it's okay. And, you know, it's just perfect. That's Cali rap. That's West Coast stuff. That's Snoop Dogg and all them.
Cali rap is one of my favorites, if I had to admit.
No, absolutely. It's absolutely.
Definitely chill and fun to listen to, and that's the kind of music that I prefer.
Yeah, but they're about to come in here and get that ass whooped today. I hope. I mean, no, I have confidence that Texas is going to do it. That's just me. But, shoot, there we go. It's just there's a lot of ifs, man. There's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of growing to do. You know, some people are, you know, want Herman's head and want this and think Charlie Strong is this and blah, blah, blah. Like, just stop bitching and, you know, and just get behind the guy and for at least 5 games. Let's get through these first 6 and then we can get into the whole he sucks, they suck, all that kind of junk, you know. Someone texts in and says, Sage Rosenfeld is my favorite quarterback of all time. He played fearless. It looked like he was in a video game, especially with the helicopter move. I do remember that. We watched that. Oh, my God. And I'm not being sarcastic. No, I know what you're talking about.
That was in big letters, too. Like, I am not being sarcastic.
No, I hear you with that. Sage was a good dude. He went to Iowa State, redhead. He's like you. He's a ginger like you, D-balls. But the helicopter, I can't remember what game it was, but he was in there playing. And it was like, oh, man, it was hilarious. We probably watched that play in film 100 times, like just crushing him, like the whole team. Like, what are you doing? Unathletic. But, all right, so it's Texas game day. What's the line? Do you know what the line is on this one today?
Last time I checked, Texas was favored by about 3.5, but let me see if I can find a line for you.
5 losses, 5 wins, 1 loss. I didn't know. So the series between SC and Texas is 1-5 and then 5-1. That ain't good.
Yeah, 3.5-point favorite, the Longhorns.
Well, I'm undefeated against SC. I know that much. I never lost a game. But, you know, scoring offense, 28-23. Scoring defense, you know, they're allowing 19 points. Their defense looks a little bit stronger than their offense. First downs, pretty even. First downs allowed. We're a little bit more rushing game. You know, we're almost averaging 200 yards a game of rushing.
Keontae Ingram is out today.
He is out?
Last time I heard, highly doubtful. So yeah. More than likely he's going to be out.
And you look at stuff here like kick return average, punt return average. You know they got athletes. They got 38, like, you know, for kick return, 38 yard average. For punt return, 16 yard average. You know, us are 24 and 12. You know what I mean? So you can see they're getting a little more production on the special team side of things. Special teams is always a big factor in a game. I don't care what anybody says. It really is. And you saw it with, I mean, shoot, you'll see it every week, and then you'll see, like in high school, even in high school football, Westlake was up 21 points in the fourth quarter, and special teams blew it away. You know what I mean? So it's just, that's football. And I know I'm talking high school, but it's just.
Football is football.
Yeah.
No matter what level it is.
Yeah, the sport is a sport. You know, anything can happen. So you got to be on at every angle. So, but you know, Sam Darnold up there with the Jets. How did he? I mean, he looked good. The first series, Quandre Diggs took him to the house, and then he did his thing. And then now SC has this young quarterback in here. This kid's supposed to still be in high school. He is 18, but you know, I agree with that. You don't want this kid to have his breakout game. And with, you know, with Todd Orlando, and you know that, you know, if you know that, you got to expose it. We talked about the D-line. I mean, if their offensive line's confused, if our D-line isn't, if our D-line, so two games we have one sack with our D-line, no sacks with our D-line, one sack with on a blitz or something, right? What you need to do, I mean, if we're not getting home with our, you know, just rushing four, you got to come up creative something. But I think, honestly, what I do think, though, is with Maryland and Tulsa, Texas really hasn't shown anything yet.
That's what I was going to ask you.
They haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell by what they're running, how they're deep. Like, Todd Orlando's defense last year was night and day different.
That's what kind of happened last year, though. They didn't really show too much the first two games, and then the USC game hit, and they were night and day.
Yeah. So I don't know why not do that from week one, but, you know, that's just me. Like, I don't care. Like, I mean, I understand, like, holding away, you know, some trick play that you're going to run on third down or fourth down or something like that. I understand holding that away that you're going to beat them on third down, like a long third down, and but other than that, you know, what we're going to see today is jet sweeps. I know everyone's been beating it to death, but, you know, it's coming into that trend, and football's a trendy. So, you know you're going to see SC run at jet sweeps today. They're going to be running the hell out of it. I mean, Maryland just destroyed us with it. So, we're going to see it every week, period. I mean, I'm sure Tulsa ran it. I don't remember if they did or not. But, you know, they're Tulsa, so they probably didn't pick up on that. But reading in some of the – as an Eagles fan, revealed it. Whatever. Yeah, no, you're right. Eagles fans, they win one Super Bowl. But, you know, you're a Dallas Cowboys fan back there, you know what I mean? So you hate the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah, I could say that.
That's all division rivalry. So I can understand why – you got mad about that, Texan. Listen to that rain. This is going to be a sloppy game. Even more reason why the Big Uglies need to show up today. I hope everybody from California enjoys the humidity today. I feel you, Chris. No, I feel you. Because that's the one thing we have at our advantage. If we can just get the sun out for about an hour or 2 hours before the game, let them feel that humidity, that heat for a minute, it'll suck the life out of them. That humidity takes the life out of people more than the heat does. Humidity's key. But we only got a couple minutes left. Appreciate everyone texting and chiming in. I know it's Texas game day. We've been talking about Texas football all day. I got Texas winning today. You know, I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it's going to be a good game day. I really do think it's going to be a good game. But Texas needs to pull this one out. So I'm going with Texas. But they have to win. This is a must-win game in my eyes because – of this next stretch of games that we have with TCU and Oklahoma. So this is a must-win for Texas today, a must-win. And the offense line is going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something. The defense is going to have to get creative. They're going to have to do some dynamic looks because, I mean, they got athletes. They had 100% they got athletes. You're not hearing any names from SC, but they got athletes. They got some fast jokers over there, period. I know that. I know that. They got talent. It's SC. So we're going to have to be on our good football today, but I want to see some dynamic looks from Todd Orlando to get this defense back to busting heads like it was last year. Offense, I mean, they gave up 300 yards rushing. Like, let's go. As an offensive lineman, put the team on your back and go do your thing. All right, and that's all I got for you folks today. I appreciate y'all chiming in. I'll be at a Cascade Blonde tailgate a little bit later than Texas Tail Garden over there at Schultz's Beer Garden to get on with Jess Pryles. But before the game, come by Whitfield's 9001 Brody Lane right there on Brody and Davis. Come check us out. We'll be out there smoking meat till about I'll be there till about 2:30, then I'm headed downtown. So come up there and eat some and have a couple beers with me before we get out of here. And I appreciate everyone listening. This is Big Ugly Outdoors brought to you by Vince Young Steakhouse, different from the herd. I was born upon the tide with the sea I did abide.